How you Hell like yeah, that? Dude.
That I was like them apples.
That game, man. So of course I wrote you, got no response. But I figured you were probably already out for the count. But I wrote you, I don't know, like 10 something. I said, turn on the game. And the reason was is that we were down 5. You know, Pelicans just made their run, and I knew we were about to go on our run. And so I was like, bro, turn on the game. And what happened? Come down, get an easy bucket. Shea comes down, hits a 3, tie game. Next thing you know is we score an additional 7 points without them scoring a single bucket. So we went on a 12-0 run to end the game. It was truly spectacular. It lines up with exactly what Mark and I were talking yesterday about. They have to figure out a way to stop teams in that last, you know, 3 minutes of the game. And it was 2:30 that the Thunder went on that crazy run. So, I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yo, if you had a chance to watch the JJ Redick and LeBron James podcast that just came out, you know, they were talking about 20 points being the new 12 and how teams used to like throwing the towel at 12, you know, with a few minutes left. You know, now, you know, you look at this game and it was turned around completely just in the second half of the third quarter. Like, we were up by 20, and before the end of the third quarter,
sure,
like it was a single possession game. So even though we hung on to the lead until late in the fourth, like the game was effectively a close game, and it was a good game back and forth. And to be able to weather the storm, like, it reminds me of like growing up watching like Tyson Holyfield, or like you get this barrage, right? And when you get hit and you get continued to get hit, like, can you handle that? Can you get back up off the mat? And can you land a few punches yourself? Because it's not over just because, you know, you taste a little bit of your own blood. And like, if you have that mentality where, you know, you've got a soft chin, it'll show up. So I think, like, the reason you were texting me is because, like, time and time again, it's been proven with this team that just because a team puts on a big comeback, it doesn't mean that we're out. And that really speaks to me about, like, the playoff level of resilience we have on this team. There's certain moments last night.
You're right.
Like, where J-Dub had an offensive rebound that he tracked down all the way down to the corner, and he was able to get the ball with a really clean two-hand over the hand head pass to Giddey. Giddey missed a shot, but then Shea tapped the rebound to J-Dub, who J-Dub was in an amazing position. I still don't, it's like a magical moment. We're like, how did Shea know he was going to be there? Did Shea know he was going to be there? But he taps it, and J-Dub lays it in. I'm like sitting there thinking about, that's what we saw from D-Wade.
But that wasn't...
The Heat went on to win a championship. Like, that type of sequence, you see something like that happen with a superstar who can move when everybody else is standing, and they're moving at a different speed. They understand how to accelerate in the gaps, and those movements within the play, like, they don't show up, and then all of a sudden it's like, he's Superman. Where did he come from? It's like his teammates expect that from him, because no moment is too big for them.
Yeah, and Shea did it last night, not just once, but twice, where he got the ball up, you know, loose ball or an offensive rebound, and was able to throw the ball up to Chet for a slam when we were having trouble scoring. And again, Shea's understanding where to go. More so for the fact is that we were able to go on this 12-0 run with our guys out on the floor that we had was Chet, J-Dub, Shea, Giddey, Dort. I mean, we had other guys coming in and out, like Kenny Hustle coming in. All these guys, like, to me, they were playing at an incredibly high level. But the crazy thing about this is that average age for these guys that right there is like 22 and a half years old.
Right.
You know, and we're playing against one of the more seasoned, I say seasoned, because if you look at their roster and you see all these guys that are been in the league for like 7 to 10 years, and you're like, holy shit, like, we just did this to a very well seasoned team, a veteran team in the league. And we just held them to 0 points in the last 2:30 of a game when the game was on the fucking line. Like, this goes back to everything that Mark and I have been talking about with this team, with Shea lining up as the true MVP of this league. And then you have J-Dub and Chet, who last night just played truly spectacular at 16 points for Chet and 26 on J-Dub. But then we've been telling you guys, and all of our friends from Australia have been echoing it too, about Josh Giddey is, it's Josh isn't done. Give him time. The last 20 games of the season, he's going to really prove what he can do. He showed up in the last two games in a huge way. Last night was no exception. 25 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. Dude was everywhere. And we just got to sit here and just recognize the things that are happening in Oklahoma City. Like, is this team peaking? We're peaking, semi-peaking, I would say, at this point, but we're not peaking yet. I mean, our record for the last 15 games is pretty stellar. I think we're like I don't know. We've lost 4 games, so we're 11-4 in the last 15. I think that's great, you know, for who we've been playing. We've got a hard schedule coming up, and our goal is simple, is to get to the playoffs healthy, because if we just win 5 more games, we get the top 3 seed no matter what. And I think that needs to be our goal, because we really don't know what's going to happen with Sacramento Kings and all those other teams in that jumble of just, you know, within 2 games of each other. So for us, it's like, let's just go ahead and let those guys fight it out, and let's cement ourselves as a top 3 team in the West, and let everybody else fuck around and play with each other's fingers.
Not often, Dave, have we been in a situation where we had more turnovers than the other team this season. That's not a common situation. We're used to being.
No, it's
pretty
not.
Much like a 2-to-1 situation, turnovers sure. compared to the other team, in my opinion, off the top of my head. So there was a lot to look at this game, and you look at it and you feel like this was a really close to playoff level basketball, where we're playing against a team that we eliminated from the play-in game last year. They have a bone to pick with us. They're
sure.
actually a lot better than you would expect when you kind of thought about this team's trajectory, considering the other teams that they're better than right now. So they have a big, you know, point sure. to push. So I enjoy the intensity of the arena
right.
in New Orleans. It was really cool to see. But, you know, what Giddy did was spectacular, because, you know, you look at those 8 rebounds, 8 defensive rebounds, 9 total rebounds. But that's really the key to his game. In a big way, if he can rebound the ball and he can be passing when his teammates realize, okay, Giddy's got it, you can release. And then teams are set in a scramble, run back. Like, if he's getting rebounds and pushing the ball from the rebound, then our team is going to be in a lot better situation. Yeah. We need those rebounds anyway. So it's really what you want to see from him. But if that's the key to his game, then the flip side of it is like just how he played this game like a chess piece, right? Like everything was perfect for him, because, you know, you go 10 for 14 from the field and you knock down 5 of 8 from deep. This is the type of thing that you look at and you say, are we capable of having this level of play? But think about it. Last year at the play-in game, now, what did Giddy put up? Didn't he put up 30 against the Pelicans? I believe he did. And yeah, it was a really crazy. Remarkable performance by him. So I think we're starting to see that playoff level basketball from him that he's capable of. We got a glimpse of it from the play-in game last year or games. So I'm excited about what he can bring, but it's really what I'm really most proud of with him is him just being able to block out the negativity, because going out and doing your job in the face of adversity, in the face of all those different things, especially just doing it for your teammates and doing it for the right reasons, yeah. That's what it's all about. And it does, nothing else really matters.
Hell yeah, like, it is.
If you can just go out there and understand your role and do your job at the highest level that you're capable of doing, then this team is going to be really great. I think a lot of people are going to have to, check the receipts whenever, you know, Josh goes on to be the player that we know he's going to be capable of in this league. But a lot of people have counted him sure. as just a wasted pick or a wasted opportunity. And I don't really see how anybody can come to that conclusion when you understand the totality of what he's brought to like our team and the way that we play our style. A sure. lot of his vision is something that the whole team really looks to emulate. And the way that the ball moves is very much like what we see taught in Australia. And it's one of the reasons that we've connected so well sure. with all the fans in Australia, is because if we were playing like a ISO heavy Kevin Durant, Russ, you know, Harden, it would be kind of like, this isn't really how the game is supposed to be played. And there'd be like a, you know, but when you see the way that we play, and my favorite play that we make on the team is that strong side cut You know, like when we're cutting strong side, it's people aren't used to that. And then everything is predicated from off ball movement and ball moving from side to side. And that's what makes us excited about this playoff situation is like this idea that like, oh, you're just going to pack it in against the Thunder and that like you'll just like muck up the game and you'll turn into 90s brand basketball and that's going to hold us. Like that doesn't really work when a team understands how to like create spacing and how to move the ball from side to side and how to play out of double teams and stuff like that. It's going to be a lot more interesting than a lot of people are giving it credit for. So big win by us for sure. It's one of those ones you can get really fucking excited about because you're not expecting to win all these games. We know we got some tough ones coming up, especially against the Rockets, bro. Like 9 wins in a row. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, dude. And I look at a couple things. I want to get to the before we get to coming up here. But I look at a couple things. First of all, it's really good to see JRE last night. I'm glad he's playing over there and having semi-success out there. So great to see him in uniform, and was really cool to see him after the game taking pictures with the guys. Then the other thing I want to say, too, is I look at this team, and I keep looking back, and one of the things that I love about recognizing that you're a coach, right? You and I are coaches, and there's a lot of listeners out there that have coached the game. As a coach, you want to look at who is that guy that's the glue guy for the team. You know, that guys that you can count on for a big shot, even though he hasn't hit a lot of shots in the game. But when the game's on the line, he's going to step up and hit a big time shot. And I started looking at just our game last night and just the way that Lou Dort had to play. And let me give you a scene that happened in the course of 3 or 4 times down. Lou Dort had to go play against CJ, right? And CJ is an incredible shooter. You don't want to leave that dude open or even a space to take a shot. So Dort had to play against him, right? On possession. Next time down, he came down. He had to switch on Zion Williamson. Now Zion pushed him right out of the way and went right to the hole. But Dort got frustrated. He knew that he fucked up, right? So he stepped up the next time down and he was able to get a stop. CJ, on the other hand, right, is whenever Dort had to play against CJ, he just shut him down. But whenever Dort started playing on Zion, Zion started having trouble with Dort. He got past him a couple times, but he started having trouble. And you guys go back, look at the film, watch what Zion does when he gets the ball against Dort. He tries to go to the hole, and then Dort cuts him off, passes the ball back out, doesn't want anything to do with it after that. So for me, I see that, and I say, okay, what other guards that are 6'3 in the league can go from playing CJ one possession to playing Zion the next possession? Like, how many guys can do that? And I start thinking about like what it takes to be a glue guy, right? And you start looking at Dort's leadership style. He's not out there screaming and yelling. He's quiet and he's methodical. He says things to guys, but it's always very quiet and it's always right there to that person so they hear him and nobody else. He's a different type of leader. And I will say this now until I'm blue in the face, is that we stood by Josh Giddey when all the shit was being thrown down, and we will stand by Josh Giddey till we're red in the face. The second thing we will continue to do is we'll stand by Lou Dort as being the glue guy on this team. I will yell and scream until I literally have no breath and I have a beet red face because I do not care. I do not care. Dort is one of those guys that when the game's on the line, he's going to take the best defender. He's going to go out there and he's going to make a big time shot like he did last night. On our 12-0 run, you better bet your ass he scored. He had a big time three after he went 0-for-3 in the first 3 shots of the night. All right. Hits the biggest 3 of the night when we needed it at that moment. And you look at what he's able to do and the way that these guys lean on Dort for these moments that we need. I mean, he's not always going to have like crazy amount of steals in the game. Only had one last night, but it's the fact is that he's going to make it difficult for their best scorer to score or do anything. And that's why it's important that we stop and keep on appreciating what Lou Dort can do, because his defense is going to be known as legendary for many decades down the road. And for us to be able to sit here and recognize that, it's truly spectacular, because there's not a lot of other players that have his capabilities at this age of their life.
Yeah, I mean, you combine him in this starting lineup, and obviously J-Dub led the way. Just like we've talked a little bit about his game, we could talk a lot more about his game. But for me, the important thing is I look at the ability for our fourth best offensive player to come out and put up 25.
See you in a minute.
How do you feel about that? How many teams have a fourth offensive player that other teams have to respect because they might put up like a 25-9-4, which is like somewhat of a, like, I know it's LeBron average, his average of his career, but almost a LeBron stat line right there, 25-9-4. What total? I mean, it's maybe the Nuggets are one of those teams that can do that. If you think about their fourth best offensive player.
But I want to go past that, though. How many guys in the league that are point guards / shooting guards that can do that? I mean, why have we held on to Josh Giddey for so many times, and especially through the trade deadline with all this other shit going down, is because when it comes down to it, and when you look at Josh's, you know, career, and this being the worst years of his career, probably because they're the first couple of years, right? And then as Josh progresses and gets better and better and better, and we've seen it in the second half of this year and the second half of last year, you know, Josh steps up to a new level. So we know that he can get to that level. So for us to say that we believe that Josh can average 28-5, I mean, like, that shouldn't be shocking anybody. Anybody that's listened to this podcast, anybody that's an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, shouldn't be shocked by saying that we think that Josh can average 28-5. Like, that should be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because if you have somebody like that plays a shooting guard, point guard position that does that, those numbers right there, that makes it different. Because then you have Josh, point guard, shooting guard position. You have Shea, shooting guard, point guard position. And you have J-Dub, shooting guard, point guard position. Like, you can't guard all three of them. They all create massive mismatches. And that's why Josh was able to attack the hole and attack the fact that he had, what, 5 threes last night, was because they all decided to guard J-Dub and Shea. And they left Josh to a point guard or a small forward guarding him, which everybody knows Josh can get around that shit. He kept on going around and bumping up against Chet and getting his guy to go leave to stay with Chet. And Josh would be just wide open. Like, Josh was incredibly methodical about the way he played last night. And that's what makes me so excited, is that it's not that this team doesn't want Josh to take this shot. It's about, you have to hunt your own shot. You have to hunt it. You have to be willing to do the extra things, stepping up to picks, stepping up to slides, doing all these other things and behind the scenes. And if you watch Josh last night, he was the most active guy on the court. And that is why he was rewarded with 25 points and he hit his shots. I mean, like, this is what Josh is going to do consistently. And it's why we get excited about Josh for future.
You know, there's a lot of time where, you know, last year people talked about us not getting team's best shot and we had to earn that. And then this year, first half of the season, everybody felt like their main goal was just to play their best game against us. When that became apparent that it wasn't going to work, then it was like, okay, what's the scouting report and how can we play to their weaknesses? And that became an obsession. And so recently it's been just kind of like, you know, play a drop coverage on Josh. And that's a challenge. It's actually a good challenge, I think, for Josh, because if you give a really great player a steady diet of anything, they're going to figure it out. But if you vary that look, it can be a lot harder to figure out. And one of the things about Dort was word got out with Dort, oh, he can't knock down the three. And so he got a steady diet of it. He found his comfort zone. He found his rhythm. And now, like, anybody who goes by that is going to pay. Like, you have to at least run somebody out at him. That's understood now. And so I think that this is just a progression of this team. If you were on a different team, they probably wouldn't be playing him exactly the same way. But right now it's like, we have to find the weakest link. And so they're challenging him and it's his mission. And you see him really succeeding in that, because in the end, if you know that your team is counting on you, irregardless of you're having a good or bad game, they're counting on you to do your job. Like, it makes a difference whether or not you get down on yourself. And the season has been a really, you know, remarkable thing. They don't have anything like a comeback player of the year award for a player who had a massive setback in the middle of the season. You know what I mean? But that's what Josh went through. Yeah. And his, you know, determination and his ability to overcome that when we go into the playoffs, he's the key. Like, I mean, as much as J-Dub and, you know, Shea, they're the key. Chet's the key, right? But if we're just three people deep in this environment, it's going to hurt. It's just we're not going to be able to make a deep, deep run.
Yeah.
We need Josh. We need Dort. And we need more production from that bench. That's going to be something
Gordon
that
Hayward.
As it goes on, coach is going to be challenged to figure out. But in the end, if we're not getting it from all the starters, then that's too big of a hole for us to overcome deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, our bench wasn't, I mean, horrible. They had 22 points last night, but Gordon Hayward, he had a number that really stood out to me. 10 minutes, but we were minus 19 in that 10 minutes that he played. That was when we were up at one point, I think 17 points, and they came roaring back and took the lead. That was not on Gordon, guys. That was not on Gordon. You look at that minus 19. You cannot sit there and say that was all on Gordon. So for me, I'm not going to sit there and moil over that. But Jay Will had 3 points. I think we had, like I said, 22 points from our bench. Kenny had six. You had six from Isaiah Joe, and Cason Wallace had 7. But, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to Shea. He had 38 minutes last night. That's not normal for Shea. I think it's great. We've been talking about playoff basketball. We expect Shea to start playing more like 37 to 38 minutes, 39 minutes, getting to the playoff schedule, which I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Shea starts playing 40 minutes in the games during the playoffs, because I think that's something that is something it's expected to some extent for some players. So I would love to see that, though, because if Shea is able to put that type of time in, that means he's ready to go for the longevity of the playoffs, which to me, I don't think we're done until June. So, you know, I think we're in a really good spot. A shout out to our friend Adam or Brian sent us a little thing that said, check it out. North Carolina's average age is 22.6, I think, right? And or 22.2. And Oklahoma City Thunder's average age for the starting lineup is 22.6. So we're only 4 months older than the average player on the North Carolina Tar Heels this year. So that's kind of crazy if you think about it, guys. You think about how mature we are. We just got 50 fucking wins. We have 11 more games. This is insane. Like, I cannot say it enough. I'm so proud of these guys. I'm proud to be able to be in a position to be able to talk positive about these guys because they deserve it, man.
Yo, how about that Jay Will rebound, overhead pass, Kevin Love maybe-esque? I don't know exactly. Like, Kevin Love copied what, Wes Unsel or whatever. And it was just he fired it to Cason, and Cason without a dribble, two-hand dunk. I just like, you know, incredible basketball IQ.
How about the block everybody. From Chet?
Oh my gosh. Trey Murphy swallowed him up.
Yeah, dude, Trey was about to posterize Chet. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When he went up, I was like, shit. I was like, shit. I was like, I'm sorry, but, you know, like, you're a rookie, Chet. And Trey is known for doing crazy shit to the rim. And I was like, I'm sorry, Chet, but... And then Chet just stopped it. It just stopped. Like, on the money, Josh Giddey gets the ball, runs up the court, gets a beautiful bucket. I mean, just beautiful. So I'm going to throw that up on YouTube later as a short so you guys can enjoy that. Put some good music on it.
Boom. Dude, classic game, getting closer to the playoffs. I'm ready for it, dude. I'm ready. You ready?
Everything. Dude, hell yeah, dude. Hell yes, dude. I think I want to say is that all season, everybody's been saying, just wait. The Thunder will slow down. Mark and I and all of our fans out there that like us, all the ones that don't like us, I'm sure you'd say the same to us, but fuck you guys. So right back at us. So I just want to say, like, we believe in this team. We believe that even if this team goes 500, just slightly above 500 for the rest of the year, that's 55 wins, which we've only had a team ever in Oklahoma City Thunder history have won, what, four teams have won more than 55 wins. So, like, this is a moment, you know.
Yeah,
this is one of those opportunities that this team truly has.
two times there's we two won 55.
And there's one that won
59.
And then one that won 60. One won 59 and one won 60.
Right. So
there's four teams that have ever done that in Oklahoma City history.
Yeah, dude. And
that's the point about it all is that 55 is a big time.
Big time. A lot of people don't understand how long franchises can go in between winning this many games. For us, we're spoiled because within the first few years of getting a team, we experienced what 50 wins meant. And then, you know, overall playoff, missing playoff time. Crazy. It's just a couple of years. We know the story. We'll be back to tell more of it next time, though. Let's do it, Dave. We'll see you guys later.
Fuck yeah, we will.